Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. And today, going to the bullpen to fill in for Tony Gwynn Jr., 97.3 The Fan is bringing in the mean righty, Coach Quintero. Gwynn and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
I'd like to be here and win a championship here in San Diego. I try not to worry about all the rumors and everything like that. I heard them all last year. Nothing happened. So I think it's more people around me, like my wife and family, that probably worry about it more than I do. You know, it's out of our control. It's out of my control. So I like it here in San Diego, and I hope to be here for, you know, quite some time. But at the end of the day, it's out of my control. All I can do is worrying about going out there and playing in tonight's game.
That's Cleveland Indians relief pitcher Brad Hand opening up the program today. Welcome to Gwynn and Chris, everybody. Chris Ello and sitting in for Tony Jr. today. Well, on a day like this, we got to bring in the coach out of the pen. Coach John Quintero, how are you, man?
I'm doing well, Chris.
Big day. Neither you or I got dealt today. I always get a little worried once these general managers start wheeling and dealing. You know, they're going to start grabbing radio guys. I just don't send me to Cleveland. I'm not going there.
Well, I'll tell you, today I was sitting out. Every day I've been trying to get ready for the big pregame show tomorrow night, okay?
That's right.
So I was out on my back patio, and I was writing up my little notes and the Padre rewind and the open for tomorrow night as the Padres get ready to play game 100 tomorrow night against the Philadelphia Phillies. And all of a sudden, I'm starting to see things come on my phone because I was looking at my iPad. My phone's ding, 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 ding. And all of a sudden, boom, the trade's final. I got to be honest with you. I hate to see Brad Hand go, but the ball club right now is 40-59 with them. They need some help, and they need desperately a lot of help swinging the bat. From what I've been able to find out, Chris, not only just looking on the internet and looking at different scouting reports on Mejia, I think this is a pretty good deal for the San Diego Padres.
Well, a lot of people think it is, and we're going to talk about it in a lot of different ways with a lot of different angles today. Jim Callis, senior writer, MLB.com, is going to be with us in the 4 o'clock hour. A.J. Cassavell from MLB.com in the 5 o'clock hour, both great baseball writers. I did have a chance to talk with Tony Gwynn Jr. Before he jumped on the plane this morning to go back to Philadelphia with the Padres, so I'll get his thoughts and, of course, the coach. And your thoughts are invited as well, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Coach, I have mixed emotions. I really do. I mean, my first thought a month ago when we brought this up for the first time, Tony and I, was absolutely not. Do not trade Brad Hand. It was the same thing I said last year. Do not trade Brad Hand. And my feeling is always this. It's hard to get all-star players. It just isn't easy. They don't grow on trees. The Padres don't exactly have a lot of all-star players. As a matter of fact, the last 2 years, they've had one. That would be Brad Hand. So in my way of thinking, I'm hanging on to what I have. And that's a known commodity in Brad Hand. And I didn't want to see the Padres make a move with him. I'd say build around him. Always make sure that I'm going to be able to close out games. And when this team gets better, I'll still be able to close out games. However, I have to go to what you just said as well. They're 40-59 with him. This is the worst record they've had in a decade. This does not look right now through 99 games like a team that is on the rise. This does not look like a team that has the kind of future they're telling us they have. But with the addition now, perhaps, of this great prospect from the Cleveland Indians, Now people are saying, my goodness, the Padres have three of the top. I saw somebody write somewhere, they got three of the top six prospects in all of baseball. Now, prospects are just prospects. I mean, we have to be clear about that. Brad Hand is a two-time All-Star. Mejia is a zero-time All-Star. Now, the day he makes his third or fourth All-Star game, then I'm going to be pretty darn happy about this trade today. But not until then. So, you know, it's a difficult thing. I give A.J. Preller this credit. That takes a lot of guts to trade your only All-Star. At least I think it does. And, you know, look, by all accounts, they got something fantastic in return.
Well, so, a couple of years ago, remember, he traded Drew Pomerantz to the Boston Red Sox right after the All-Star game. So if you're a Padre All-Star, the only guy that survived that the last few years has been Will Myers.
Okay? Will Myers made it.
But, you know, Chris, let's talk. There's a lot to talk about with the San Diego Padres. And, you know, I'm pretty active on Twitter with the Padre fans and now back doing the pre- and post-game show. And I'm walking around the ballpark. And, you know, I get some great feedback from the Padre fans, and I'd love to get that feedback today on the talk show, because it's really a good day to talk baseball. I mean, you know, you got the thing up there in L.A., what happened yesterday with Manny Machado, but, you know, you talk about the top prospects. The Padres now, with getting Mejia, from what I understand and what I've read, and Jim Callis will be able to talk more about it when he joins a little bit later in the program today, the Padres now, I believe, have 10 of the top 100 prospects in all of baseball. What that means, only time is going to tell. Now, I can tell you, Tatis played really well, and he got a lot of love in that Futures game on Sunday. Last night, I watched a replay. Believe it or not, I watched it twice, because it was played last week. I watched it yesterday, and then they cut in on the MLB Network because of the Machado deal. So last night, I was watching the 11 o'clock news.
I'm a little surprised you've only watched that Futures game twice, to be honest with you.
Well,
that kind of throws me.
Well,
I figured you'd have watched it four or five times.
But last night,
by now,
I watched the PCL International League All-Star game. And by the way, for you Padre fans, that AAA All-Star game next year is going to be in El Paso. And that's not a tough flight to get over there. You can go over there and have a fun time and see some of these young and up-and-coming ballplayers for every organization. But what I was going to say, Luis Urias, who played in the Futures game last night when I was watching him, this guy knows how to play the game. Now, I question maybe a little bit. He's got that leg kick, and I'm not a big leg kick guy, but the one thing he does really well, Chris, is he keeps his hands back. He may get up here before too long. I don't know if they'd wait till September. I think he may come up a little bit earlier. It looks like he's got pretty good baseball instincts. There were a couple of plays in that game yesterday, what you could tell on television. It looks like this kid's got some pretty good baseball instincts. He's very young, very young. If he stays down there the remainder of the year and they don't bring him up, that's okay. He can compete for a job in spring training. It'd be nice to get his feet wet a little bit, just like Mejia. Mejia's played in 12 big league games. Right now, he's 2 for 15. But, you know, he played one game this year. He was 0 for 2. Big deal. This guy had a 50-game hitting streak down in the lower minors. Now you say, well, that's the lower minor. I don't care if you're playing the Adaba League on Sunday. 50 straight games where you're getting a hit. And by the way, for you fans out there that haven't had a chance to really dig in on this guy, he's a switch hitter. And that 50-game hitting streak is the longest hitting streak in minor league baseball since 1963. Very aggressive hitter from the Dominican Republic. Defensively, it's a work in progress. Last year in the Arizona Fall League, they worked him primarily at third base. I don't think that went real well. A lot of people are projecting him down the road to probably be a corner outfielder, but the Padres are going to send him to AAA, and he's going to get an opportunity to catch on an everyday basis.
Let me ask you real quick, because catcher's an interesting, you know, position right now. You've got Austin Hedges there, who's a, quote, the future of the Padres at that position. And look, Austin had a little hot streak right before the All-Star break, got his average up into the 230s at least. I mean, my goodness, he was down below 190 for the longest time. Is there going to be any way possible that we can have Austin Hedges catch and Mejia hit?
Well, I think anything's possible.
No. I mean, like in the same lineup, put them both in the same spot.
Well, how about if the National League goes to the designated hitter?
That's right. They might do that. I mean, look, Mejia, from everything I've heard, his hitting is ahead of his defense.
Right.
And that's the way it is for a lot of these guys, especially they know they got to hit their way off the island, as the saying goes. But this young man hits line drives, and from both sides of the plate. And, you know, I think what the Padres have said, and we're going to hear from A.J. Preller here in just a little bit, his press conference today, but from what I've heard so far, they're going to keep him down in the minor leagues for a little while, but it's not impossible that we may not see him before the end of the season, too, just to get a little look-see at what he looks like at the big league level.
Here's the deal. Last week, the Padres got exposed by the Los Angeles Dodgers. They dropped 3 out of 4. They got swept by the Chicago Cubs, and that Chicago series was ugly. It was really an ugly series. The Padres, you know, two different ball games. They had the game won on Friday night. They end up making a total of 3 errors. They make two errors on that one play in the 10th inning after giving up the lead in the top of the 9th, where the Cubs end up tying it. Sunday was awful. It was bad baseball, okay, all the way around. One game you had Perella, you're down 5-0. He's getting thrown out by Wilson Contreras, taking a secondary lead. That's bad baseball. And the fans here in San Diego deserve better than that. But I give the Padres ownership, their front office, everybody a lot of credit, because they have stayed and they haven't panicked yet. And it'd be easy to go get Tatis, bring him up, satisfy the fans, bring up Urias. Everybody's talking about him. Bring up this guy, bring up that guy. They're doing it the right way right now. They're going to bring these guys up when they really believe they're ready to compete and win a starting spot with this big league ball club. But I'll tell you what, there had to be some serious organizational meetings after that homestand where the Padres went 1-6.
It was time to do something. There's no question. And the first domino has fallen. Now the question is, how many more dominoes are going to fall? And, you know, look, everybody says Kirby Yates is now the closer. Yeah, for today. Don't be surprised if Kirby Yates isn't the next guy to get traded. And then Craig Stammen steps into the role. And then don't be surprised if Craig Stammen doesn't get traded. And don't be surprised if Tyson Ross doesn't get traded. I mean, you know, now that you've already, you know, basically played your hand and you've dealt Brad hand, you know, there's no reason why you shouldn't just go all in and deal as many guys as you can. And again, try to fortify more and more prospects. So we'll see. AJ Preller had his press conference today. We're going to let you listen to a lot of that when we come back from this break. What he had to say about Mejia, what he had to say about this trade, what he had to say about the future of the Padres, what he had to say about the future of Austin Hedges, all of it. It's all coming up when we return. Like I said, Jim Callis will join us in the 4 o'clock hour, A.J. Cassavell in the 5 o'clock hour. My conversation with Tony Gwynn Jr. is coming up as well. Your calls are invited, 833-288-0973. Chris Ello, the coach, John Contreras sitting in today. It's Gwynn and Chris getting underway on a day that the Padres have traded their all-star, Brad Hand, to Cleveland. We cover from every angle right here on 97.3 The Fan. Don't forget 97.3 The Fan, bringing Cooperstown to San Diego. Listen in. Oh, my goodness, Coach. It's a week from tomorrow. Scraby, could it possibly be that close?
I cannot believe it.
I am so excited. I'm fired up. I am riled up.
Hey, I got to tell you, I'm really excited for you.
Is there
you
any way you can jump in a back seat or something?
I would love to be there. You know,
it's so fun to have you come to Cooperstown with us.
You know what, Chris? I had the opportunity when Dave Winfield went in to go back there, and that was the same year Kirby Puckett, and I did radio shows all week from there.
Yeah.
And really, one of the highlights, because I got to know this man because he was from – he lived here in San Diego, was Duke Snyder. And I was telling this story the other night.
Well, I heard you telling this.
I was telling this story on the postgame show the other night. We were talking about the Hall of Fame and Trevor. And all these Hall of Famers are starting to come in. And I was finishing up the show. And, you know, I got a pretty loud voice. And I was excited, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anyways, Duke Snyder walks over and goes, "Hey, Coach." And I go,
that part alone always throws me. The fact that a Hall of Famer like Duke Snyder is calling you Coach.
Yeah, well, so anyways, he comes over and goes, "Hey, Coach." He goes, "I was listening to your show last week, and there was something I disagreed with you on." I go, "Duke, why didn't you call in?"
Call
he
in.
Goes, "You know what? I should have." He go, and I go, and I said the last thing is he was starting to mingle with some other people, and he was starting to walk away from my table. I go, "Hey, Duke, thanks for listening."
Thanks for listening, Duke. I once got a call at my house from Mickey Mantle.
Is that right?
Yeah. I was working on a story about one of his former teammates with the Yankees, and I pick up my phone, and a guy goes, "Is Chris there?" I go, "Yeah, this is Chris." He goes, "Hi, Chris, Mickey Mantle." It's about fell off the couch.
That's a little surreal.
It took me like 5 minutes to get my notepaper ready to go, you know, and just kind of get organized.
And I bet you after you hung up, you like didn't even hardly remember anything you wrote down.
No, I don't remember anything that happened in that conversation with Mickey Mantle. But anyway, that's the kind of excitement we're looking forward to next week. Thursday and Friday, Tony and I will be broadcasting live from Cooperstown, New York, 3 to 7 o'clock, the National Baseball Hall of Fame induction ceremonies. And again, I want to just clear it up, make sure everybody understands. That's 3 to 7 Pacific time, our normal time. We'll be on the radio, and of course we will have a Hall of Famers on the show. Trevor's going to be coming on, all leading up to his induction on July 29th. The live broadcast brought to you by San Diego County Kia Dealers. Visit KiaDealers.com during Kia's America's Best Value Summer Clearance. So that's coming up next week, and man, I'm fired up about that. But today we're talking Brad Hand, and he goes to Cleveland. The Cleveland thing came up a few days ago, and once I heard that, I thought, you know what? I think Brad Hand's going. Because I think A.J. Preller was smart. I think he hung on to him until he found a desperate team. And he found a desperate team. I mean, Cleveland, worst ERA in baseball. Andrew Miller, yeah, he's coming back after the All-Star break, but coach, he's still fighting off injuries. Hasn't been the same as he was a couple years ago when he practically won the World Series against the Cubs by himself. And this is a perfect team to make this deal with because they were dying for something. They know they're going to need somebody in that bullpen when they get to the postseason.
Well, and the other thing, I think Cleveland, Chris Antonetti and even the group that was there before him, they've done a pretty good job building their farm system. And they got some really nice players at the big league level that have come through that Cleveland farm system. And, Mejia, I think with a lot of ball clubs, Chris, he may have been up on the big league ball club, at least in a backup role. But Yan Gomes is a pretty good player. I mean, Yan Gomes was on the All-Star team this year, and he's a guy that didn't have a great season a year ago.
You know who struck him out in the All-Star game the other night?
Brad Hand.
That's right.
Hey, Brad Hand looked good in the All-Star game. You know what? I got to say this. I don't really know Brad Hand, but I've been down on the field just like you at the end of the games when he's closing out a game, so we run on the field and get our little post-game interview. That guy, when he throws that slider, that's serious nastiness. That guy, where he got beat a few times this year was he'd leave that fastball at 95 miles an hour up in the zone a little bit. This guy, I really like watching this guy pitch. And, you brought up Andrew Miller. Andrew Miller, he's coming back from that knee problem again, and that seems to be a little bit of a chronic issue he's having right now. The guy we haven't talked about that went in the deal today is Adam Simber. And Adam Simber's a rookie. He's a former ninth-round pick of the Padres. Think about this. A ninth-round pick who came through, and it wasn't easy for Adam Simber. He had to work all the way up through the minor leagues to get his opportunity this year with the San Diego Padres. And to his credit, he has made the most of it, and Chris Antonetti and the Indians apparently wanted to try to get this guy, coming out of spring training, and A.J. Preller wouldn't let him be pried loose, but this guy really done well, so all of a sudden now Cleveland, who's going to win that division easy, okay?
Yes.
I mean, that division's awful right now, but now they're going for the whole thing. They're going back to get to the World Series with this move today.
All right, let's hear what A.J. Preller had to say from the Padres side, and start with his thoughts on Mejia, why this was the guy that the Padres pulled the trigger for.
Ultimately, you never want to, you'd love for them to go ask for players that you feel like are not going to be quality players down the road. That's not usually the way it works. I think with Cleveland, they were pretty adamant that for them, they were, that two-player combination was what was going to unlock, Mejia. And I think from our standpoint, we looked at as much as, potentially, you're losing two quality relievers. Ultimately, getting a 22-year-old switch-hitting catcher, internally, we have very good reports on. He's got a, huge arm. He's obviously had some hitting accolades. He can swing the bat. As we continue our build, getting that type of asset versus a couple of pen pieces, on a team that has struggled in the standings in the first half of the season, we just felt like that was quality value to go ahead and unlock one of the better prospects in the game right now.
Unlock. I like that. I like that word, unlocking one of the top prospects in the game. Like he was protected, man. Cleveland was not going to unlock him, but Cleveland got desperate. And that's what I'm saying. I think A.J. Preller's been waiting to find a team like this before. Because Brad Hand, we've heard, and even Brad Hand said at the beginning of the show on the interview we did with him a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, everybody said I was going to be traded last year in offseason. And he goes, I haven't been traded. Nothing ever happens. Well, this happened because Cleveland was in that situation where they needed to part with that good of a player.
I'm real anxious to see, when we see him. I don't think it's a matter of, 2 months. I think we're going to see this guy well before September.
Well, and I'll tell you one thing. I thought about this on the way over. Austin Hedges has got to be, wondering a little bit now about not his future with the Padres, but just in general where he fits, where he stands, because, Mejia is a catcher, and although Austin Hedges is certainly miles ahead of him defensively, Austin Hedges didn't get the batting average up to 230 until the last 2 weeks before the All-Star break, hit a couple of home runs, maybe starting to find the groove a little bit. I think how he starts out in the second half of the season is going to be important. He goes into a big slide, again, drops that average, drops down to 190. I think you see Mejia pretty quick.
Well, I think this is a big year for Austin Hedges. And the other thing that I would throw in, and I marvel at his skills, Chris, I remember before he was ever drafted by the Padres, I had a scout from an organization say, hey, take a look at this tape. And I looked at it, and I was amazed at how good this guy was. So on draft day, I was like all excited when he actually got drafted. And I remember going down and watching him when they bring the parents and the kid in after the draft and watching him hit, and he actually swung the bat pretty well coming out of high school, but everybody knew he could catch. I mean, Brad Ausmus, saw him, and the Padres sent Brad Ausmus out to evaluate him because Brad was working in the Padres front office at that time, and he marveled at this kid's skills. This guy, believe me, if the bat can continue to get better. Now, remember, he had 18 home runs last year, still didn't hit for much of an average, but, if he could hit a few long balls and get that average up to 240, he could catch for a long time in the big leagues. Because I will tell you this, around baseball, talking to a lot of the pro scouts that I've talked to when I go out there for the pregame show and eat dinner and talk to these guys, there are a lot of organizations that would love to have Austin Hedges as their number one catcher.
Well, I think the Padres would love to have him as their number one catcher, too. And Mejia, one of the nice things about this guy is that he'd play outfield. If Hedges picks it up, then Mejia's outfield. All right, more from A.J. Preller when we come back. What kind of hitter is he going to be? What about Austin Hedges? We'll find out more when we return from the Padres general manager. Also, my chat with Tony Gwynn Jr. right after the trade happened this morning. We'll hear what TG Jr. had to say as we continue with Gwynn and Chris. Coach John Quintero filling in along with Chris Ello today until 7 on your home for Padre Baseball, 97.3 The Fan. We brought the right-hander in out of the bullpen today, the coach, John Quintero. You know why? Because we don't have the left-hander anymore. He's in Cleveland. Brad Hand dealt to the Cleveland Indians today. This morning, Chris Ello, the coach, John Quintero, sitting in for Tony Gwynn Jr. We're going to hear from Tony shortly. Also ahead on the program, Jim Callis, senior writer from MLB.com, and A.J. Cassavell, who covers the Padres for MLB.com. We're going to hit this this deal from every angle. Francisco Mejia, one of the top prospects in all of baseball. It is kind of comical to me, Coach, that these guys out there, whoever they work for, ESPN, Baseball Prospectus, Baseball America, MLB, whatever they represent, can look at every single prospect in America. I mean, like thousands and thousands of kids, and say, yeah, that guy's number 12. That guy's number 16, as if number 12 is way better than number 16. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I've seen Mejia rated anywhere in the top 50, top 20, top 10, top 5. But, until he gets here and starts contributing to the Padres and we see what kind of big league ball player he is, then he's just a prospect.
And that's exactly right.
He's a good one, but he's still just a prospect. Same with Tatis, same with Urias, same with all of them. And, that's why I have a little bit of a hesitation. I probably wouldn't make a good general manager in baseball because I would have hesitation trading my all-star closer, a known commodity, for something that isn't known.
Well, the thing with Brad Hand, I kind of said this a week or so ago when you and I were working together, and I mentioned it some callers on the postgame show. Brad Hand's under team control for a couple of more years, and then in 2021, there's a $10 million club option. Now, that's about when this Padre ball club is hoping to be a real contender. Okay?
That's what Ron Fowler said.
Well, that's what you say. But again, a lot of things have to factor in. I mean, you got Tatis and Urias that are getting close. And after that, you got a lot of guys down in A ball and double, or, you know, in single A, down in the Arizona Fall League or in the Rookie League. And then you got guys up in the Northwest League. You got a lot of good young talent. I talked to these pro scouts that scout the Arizona Rookie League and the Northwest League, and they said, man, the Padres got all kinds of guys with arms. I don't hear a lot about their position players. I'm hearing a lot about all these arms they have, even down in the Arizona Rookie League, these 18-year-old Dominicans that they've that have come through the Dominican summer program the Padres have. And, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But, again, the Padres are saving some money by this deal right now. I mean, Kirby Yates isn't making a lot of money to be the Padre closer. I would imagine he's making somewhere in the neighborhood of about $650,000 because he doesn't have a lot of service time right now. But if you trade Kirby Yates, who's going to be the closer? Is going to be Stammen?
Yeah. I mean, what difference does it make at this point? Really? I mean, Stammen can get guys out, first of all. Second of all, look, if they're going to go ahead and lose 100 games now, to me, they've already opened the door for that possibility now. It's fine. It's a sad thing to me because in a lot of ways, the trading of Brad Hand officially, I mean, we know that it kind of had happened already, but this officially puts an end to the competitive phase of the 2018 season, all right? So, you know, it's time to look ahead next year. I mean, it doesn't really matter how many ball games they win now in the second half. And if they can get something for Kirby Yates, I guarantee you they're going to do it. And if they can get something for Tyson Ross still, I think they're going to do that too. And they might even be able to get something for Craig Stammen. I'm not sure. But look, A.J. Preller, the organization has said, I mean, Ron Fowler said last week in the newspaper, flat out in ink, 2020-2021. That's it. That's what they're going for. And by making this trade today, they're underscoring that point, at least in my mind.
Well, in 2020 or 2021.
Those are the 2 years that the Dodgers, Rockies, Giants, and Diamondbacks, they're all taking off those 2 years. You didn't hear that?
Well,
didn't
what get happens that? If the Padres don't win? Are some heads going to roll then?
I think they would by then. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we'll be able to hold their feet to the fire.
Do you think Andy Green will still be the manager in 2020 or 2021?
I'm going to answer that by not answering it.
Okay.
How do you like that?
Well, that's okay.
I'd say because I don't know. I don't know, but I don't feel strongly about it.
I don't either.
I mean, you know, unless he does something with not a whole lot of stuff. I mean, Fowler said the right thing in the paper last week. He said, we haven't given him what he needs yet. We
right. No,
him
I agree
he
with
He said
everything.
All the right things.
By the way, I thought that was a really well-done article. I think the questions that were asked were...
They were fair.
They were fair.
Honest.
And I think the answers were really good. I enjoyed that a great deal. I also enjoyed yesterday. Kevin Acey did a lot of work in what I read it yesterday, but it was in today's paper. I mean, I can't imagine how long he had to go through and do all that research, but he did a great job on that article talking about the Padres and all the different moves they've made in AJ's tenure.
Yeah, that's a lot of stuff. All right, speaking of AJ Preller, he did have the press conference today, and we were talking earlier about Austin Hedges. Before we get to that, AJ Preller talked about Francisco Mejia and what kind of hitter he's going to be once he gets to the big league level, or at least what they're hoping.
I think a combination, you know, of both. I think, you know, he definitely is a guy that's, you know, he's aggressive. He's, you know, he's definitely, you know, gap to gap. I don't, you know, ultimately, you know, we've seen a lot of players at the minor league level here the last few years that have been good hitters that have grown into power at the big league level. You know, I think from our standpoint, you know, it's a switch hit bat. Obviously, when you have a 50-game hitting streak at any level, any point in time, you know, it demonstrates that you're, you know, that you have some hitting ability. I think he's going to be a gap, you know, gap-to-gap type guy. A guy's going to be able to have doubles, some extra base power, probably continue to grow more power. You know, he's hit, you know, 14 bombs, 11 bombs the last few years, on pace this year for double-digit home runs. You know, and ultimately probably a guy that can hit anywhere from, you know, 2 to 7. I know it's a wide range in your order, but, you know, a guy that's demonstrated that he can, you know, he can be moved around. And, you know, ultimately when you have a guy hits from both sides and, you know, can move the baseball around and doesn't punch out. I think that gives us some flexibility in terms of where we get him in the lineup and, you know, type of hitter. Ultimately, you know, probably more of a gap to gap guy that's going to go into a little bit of power and, you know, and hits for a solid average.
I hope he hits a couple of balls down the line too. He said gap to gap like six times there. So I just want to make sure that, every now and again, Mejia is going to hit one down the line. Because that can go into the corner and you could get a triple out of that. You know,
well, you can pull it into the Petco porch.
Pull it into the Petco porch.
You know what? Speaking of the Petco porch, aren't you surprised there aren't more homers hit into the Petco porch?
Well, no, because I know what the Padres are bringing to the plate every night. Are you kidding? No, the Padres don't have a whole lot of power. I mean, and look, I don't think Mejia is the kind of guy that's going to have a whole lot of power. If he I'll use A.J. Preller's word here. If he demonstrates at the big league level that he's got power, then I think you have a better chance of seeing him also go to the outfield, too.
Well, this guy's only 22 years of age. He's going to get stronger.
A lot of times,
there's no question
guys
about
do
that.
Develop power in their mid-20s.
Hey, let's throw out that number. I want to hear from some of the fans today. There has to be some reaction. I want to hear what people thought last weekend when they were down there watching the Cubs series. You know, can you realistically think that this organization is going to be able to win in 2020, 2021? Love to get your thoughts on that. Who else do you think might be dealt aside maybe from a Kirby Yates and a Tyson Ross? Our number 833-288-0973. Chris, I get a tweet here from CJ, who's a big Padre fan, and he says, why not use Strom in the closer role? The reason I wouldn't use Strom in the closer role, even though I think he might do a pretty good job in that role, I'm lengthening that guy out, and I'm going to let him compete for a starting role as early as the end of this year or at least going to spring training.
Well, the Padres, could they wind up having a staff with five young left-handed pitchers? I mean, you've already got Lauer. You've already got Lucchesi. You're going to put Strom in there, too.
By the way, did you see, you know, they sent Lucchesi down to El Paso?
Yeah.
He pitched last night. You see his numbers?
No.
Didn't get out of the third inning. Yeah. It wasn't pretty. Well, it wasn't pretty.
I'm not gonna hold him hold his feet to the fire for that. I mean, to me, he was just down there getting loosened up.
He was getting his work in, right?
Yeah. I think a guy that's at the big league level and has kind of proven that he belongs at the big league level, that's tough to go ask him.
Well, you're trying to tell me you don't think he went out there with that adrenaline pumping through him.
I don't think he did. No. But I know one guy's got a little adrenaline pumping through him, or he better, and that's Austin Hedges. A.J. Preller was asked about the current Padre catcher and what this trade for Mejia means to him.
Yeah, I think, you know, we think a ton of Hedgie. You know, I think bottom line is, you know, since coming back from the DL, he's played really well. And I think he's slashed all the ability that we've seen over the last few years. You know, I think for us, it really just is a value proposition that, you know, you look up and we've talked about finding position players. We've talked about finding up the middle players. It's just hard to find any kind of, you know, premium position, you know, young prospects that the teams are willing to move. You know, and I think from our standpoint, having options at that spot and really all the positions, that's the goal and that's the key. I think with Hedgie, you know, he brings a ton to the table, and you know, I think it's you know, it's a good position to be in. As we sat down and discussed it as a group, you know, to have, you know, probably two of the, you know, most talented and best catchers, you know, 25 and under in your organization, it's a really good position to be in. And it's also become a position too where it's almost, you know, the traditional, like, hey, 130, 140 game guy. You know, you don't see as much of that anymore. You know, so I think we've talked about what this means for us down the road. I think at least in the short term, you know, we've got two of the top catching talents, you know, in the game in one organization.
I still think it's a little bit of an issue. I mean, if Mejia is going to come in as a catcher, and the Padres are going to, you know, put him in the minor leagues as a catcher and then bring him up to the big leagues as a catcher, you got to have a number one guy. You got to have a number two guy. I don't think Hedges would settle for being a number two guy, do you?
Well, no, but the team still has him under control. I mean, you look at Austin, he's hitting .232 right now with four homers, 17 RBIs. His on-base percentage is at .289, and because he got hot the last couple of weeks, his career average is elevated over the .200 mark. He's up to .205 right now. Yeah. I mean, 3 weeks ago, he's hitting .195, a career hitter.
I know.
And you know what? He's still a young player. He's still developing. He's 25 years of age. He's been around for a long period of time. The other thing, and I do think that AJ likes him, but remember, AJ did not draft him. And, you know, he didn't draft a guy like Renfro either. You know, and maybe he wants to get his guys. I mean, he's got his manager, and he's got, you know, players that, you know, he is drafted and developing right now. Maybe he moves some of these guys out going forward. Well, time's going to tell. And I think we're going to find out a lot about the players on this roster the second half of the year. I mean, I don't know if they can even get out of a fifth place right now, but I need to have some idea. If I'm the general manager, I need to know, is Hunter Renfroe, is he a guy that I want here long-term? Manny Margot, Austin Hedges, Christian Villanueva. I need to find out some answers, and I certainly need to find out who's going to be my second baseman and who's going to be my third baseman next year. I'm not sure it's going to be Villanueva. I'm not sure it's going to be, I know for a fact it won't be Perella, but could it be Aswahe? Could it be Spangenberg, who's doing a pretty good job down in El Paso right now? Or is it going to be Urias? Padres need to get a lot of answers the second half of this season before they go to the winter.
Yeah, then that's what this whole second half of the season is going to be all about. That there's absolutely no question. All right, when this trade went down this morning, had a chance to talk with my partner, Tony Gwynn Jr. He's on his way to Philadelphia with the Padres, and Tony had some interesting thoughts. You know, I think ultimately, Coach, none of us are going to really know, A, about this trade until we see Mejia at the big league level for a few years, right? I mean, you can't just bring him up for a couple of weeks and then make our determination. But also after all of the moves are made, because as you just said now, Hedges, maybe he gets traded, or maybe one of these outfielders get moved now that you got Mejia. Who knows what is this trade probably signals a kickoff of three or four other dominoes that are going to fall. So it's difficult today to wrap our minds and around everything that we think about this deal. All we can comment on is what we know so far. And that's what Tony Gwynn Jr. and I did this morning. It's my partner, Tony Gwynn, and the Padres no longer have Brad Hand. I told you.
Yeah, you did tell me.
I didn't want to tell you. I didn't want to be right on this one, but I just had a feeling. Once I saw the Cleveland Indians name get into the mix, it just felt like that might be the team that's desperate enough to trade somebody really good that the Padres would make this move with Brad Hand. And hopefully the Padres got somebody really good today.
Well, you're right. I mean, as soon as Cleveland's name entered the conversation, it did feel a little bit different. You knew all year long, I mean, Cleveland has one of the worst bullpens in baseball. A big reason why they've kind of underachieved this year. So now, in essence, Cleveland's going to get Brad Hand before Miller back before too long. So you're getting two players, really, for the price. And they also get Adam Simber, who's been such a nice surprise for the Padres. Has pitched well all season long. So they've strengthened their bullpen, and before the deadline, they're able to get the deal done before the deadline, and the Padres get what seems to be a really good hitting, catching prospect in Francisco Mejia.
Well, that's going to be the interesting thing. Let's look at it from the Padres' perspective now. I mean, obviously Kirby Yates can step into the closer's role, and you still have Craig Stammen, so the Padre bullpen should be okay for now, at least in the short term. Francisco Mejia, where does he fit, though? I mean, this is a very crowded outfield already. I know that he's a catching prospect as well. This has got to, if nothing else, it's going to put Austin Hedges on notice here in the next month or so.
I mean, it certainly seems like that, right, Chris? I mean,
yeah.
Austin obviously has been touted as one of, and has shown to be one of the better defensive catchers in the National League, but he has struggled offensively. I don't think there's any really getting around that. And it could signal that the Padres, they want more offensively. From what I've heard, talking to scouts and some executives, Francisco's hitting is far, I don't know if it's far, but it's ahead of his catching. There still seems to be some times where some mental errors might happen, but all in all, it sounds like this guy can swing it.
Well, the nice thing is on paper, you look at the Padres, and at least in some of the mid-season prospect rankings, you've now got three of the top six players in baseball, and Fernando Tatis Jr., Mejia, Mackenzie Gore. You obviously still have Luis Urias. I mean, the future continues to be bright, bright, bright for the Padres, but at least for now, we have to just you don't even have to tell me to be patient, because I know we have to be patient. And when you make moves like this, you have to even be more patient, because frankly, the Padres do not become better like this afternoon. I mean, hopefully they become better here in the next couple of months and heading into next season. That's what this is all about.
That's true. I would go as far as that. Although they may not have gotten better today, I don't know that they've gotten that much worse. Obviously, you lose a guy like Brad Hand. That's a significant loss, but you're able to replace him with a guy like Yates, with Stammen, and so they have guys who are capable of filling the role. And I think from a wins loss standpoint, they don't lose that much. They gain a big time prospect in Francisco Mejia, and as I've been saying pretty much all season long, patience. Patience.
Now, you're on your way to Philadelphia today with this ball club. You've been around teams that have made trades before, seen players move. What's the general reaction likely to be from the Padres as a group? I mean, they lose one of their best buddies, one of their guys, Brad Hand. I mean, there is a personal aspect to this, seeing a guy like that leave town.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's definitely a personal aspect to it. I think, but these guys are professionals. They recognize. Shoot, for the last 2 years, they've been going through this around this time. So, although it might have been a little bit unexpected for some of them, I think eventually they'll move forward. They know they have a job to do, and I think ultimately they know AJ is just trying to get the best team he possibly can, even if that means building towards the future.
And I think one last thing, Tony, I think we can also say that Mejia, I mean, catching, yes, but outfield also, that not only means everybody who's in the Padre outfield now needs to, be playing well, etc., but it gives, I think, AJ Preller the ability to maybe move a couple of those outfielders now much more comfortably, and perhaps get some starting pitching that way, perhaps get something else, but this gives him a little bit more maneuverability as well.
No, there's no doubt. And listen, I think the Indians, in the AAA, which I believe is, I think they're in Columbus, at least they used to be in Columbus, they do a good job. They did a good job this year of moving Mejia around. He played some outfield. He played some third base for him this year. So it's not as though he doesn't have experience playing some of these other positions. Now, how well he's played those positions, that I don't know. But certainly I would assume that all those other positions are in play for him as well.
Well, let's just see how it goes. I mean, this is baseball, and you and I have talked about this a lot. And, I hate to see good players leave, but I have to trust in what AJ Preller's doing. I mean, I don't really have any other choice as a Padre fan right now to sit back and say, hey, I hope I can sit here in 2 or 3 years and say, wow, this Mejia is an all-star type player. And that trade, the day we parted with Brad Hand, was one of those real key moments in the development of the San Diego Padres. I hope that that's how we look back on today.
Hey, there's no doubt about it. I think in the history so far of AJ Preller, when he's moved relievers, it's come back pretty well for the Padres. You had Kemper go to Boston, you get Suárez, you get Marco, you move Buchter and Maurer last year, you get Strom. So you're getting some guys who have shown some potential to be some pretty good players in this league. Hopefully this one turns out the same, if not better.
All right, Tony. Well, have a good trip to Philadelphia. We will see you next week, obviously, in New York. Get ready for Cooperstown. And now, when we go to Cooperstown next weekend, we'll go look at your dad's bus there. We'll get ready for Trevor Hoffman, and then we'll dust off a little spot for Francisco Mejia, hopefully.
That would be nice. That'd be real nice.
I'll talk to you later, buddy.
All right, brother. Take care.
All right, there was Tony Gwynn Jr. With me earlier this morning before he took off for Philadelphia. Padres and Phillies tomorrow. We have hour number two of our program today. Much more on this Brad Hand trade. Chris Ello, the coach, John Contreras sitting in for Tony Gwynn Jr.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.